Good morning.
Good morning.
I am Pastor Bruce Potter, and I am not only supplier, but I come to talk to you about food for poor. You do have a brochure about that. I flew in from Philadelphia yesterday. I live about an hour and a half northwest of Philadelphia in the Pennsylvania country. And I am retired after 40 years of ministry in the ELCA. And I've been speaking through food for the poor for the last 4 years. It's something that's near and dear to my heart. And after you hear my message, I hope that it embraces you as well. I thank you for inviting me. And we don't have announcements now. We'll just begin with the worship. Please rise as we begin our worship. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, whose name is majestic in all the earth, who rescues and heals in every kind of trouble, who does all things well.
Amen.
Let us come before God, seeking forgiveness and life, steadfast and safe, God.
Have mercy on us. We confess to you all things we turn from you and our in your compassion, forgive our sins and heal our hurts. Bring forth from us the hearts of righteousness, the fruits of gentleness and peacemaking, the seeds of wisdom and justice, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, receive mercy and find grace in your time of need. Your transgressions are forgiven. God's love is healing balm for your wounds. Rejoice, for God raises you up to new life in Christ.
Amen.
Thank you. The first reading is written in Proverbs, the 25th chapter. Do not put yourself forward in the king's presence, or stand in the place of the great, for it is better to be told, "Come up here," than to be put lower in the presence of a noble. The word of the Lord. Psalm is Psalm 112. We'll read responsively as printed in the bulletin. Hallelujah! Happy are they who fear the Lord and have great delight in God's commandments. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches will be in their house, and their righteousness will last forever. Light shines in the darkness for the upright. The righteous are merciful and full of compassion. It is good for them to be generous in lending and to manage their affairs with justice, for they will never be shaken. The righteous will be kept in everlasting remembrance. They will not be afraid of any evil rumors. Their heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. Their heart is established and will not shrink until they see their desire upon their enemies. They have given freely to the poor, and their righteousness stands fast forever. They will hold up their head with honor. The wicked will see it and be angry. They will gnash their teeth and pine away. The desires of the wicked will perish. The second reading is from Paul's letter to the Hebrews, the 13th chapter. Let mutual love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those who are in prison as though you were in prison with them, those who are being tortured as though you yourselves were being tortured. Let marriage be held in honor by all, and let the marriage bed be kept undefiled, for God will judge fornicators and adulterers. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me? Remember your leaders, those who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Through him, then, let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that confess his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. The word of the Lord.
You would need to repay. But when you give a banquet,
invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. And you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise you, O Christ.
You may be seated. And invite the children to come forward. I have a blessing for you. I have a blessing for you. Before this event happens with our gospel lesson, Jesus said he was challenged by a Pharisee, "What's the greatest commandments?" And Jesus said, "You know it. Of all the over 600 commands, the law, as we are going to. Love you, love the Lord your God with all your heart and mind and soul. And that's why we're here this morning. Because we love the Lord. And we need in our lives to hear His word of love and forgiveness and grace. But then Jesus said there's a second command. Love your neighbor as yourself. In fact, it's just like the first command, because you can't do one without the other. And that's also why we're here. And that's also why we come into God's presence every week. To hear what God would have us do for Him as we reach out to our neighbors, our left and our right, those we see, and those in other countries. I have found in my life that Food 44 helps me do just that. To help me love God, help me love my neighbor. For those of you who are not familiar with Food 44, it's a national organization that started over 37 years ago by one person who moved from Jamaica to Miami. But he kept remembering the poor that left behind and he went to school with. So he kept sending money, and his church kept sending money and expanded from Jamaica to Haiti. And now, Food for the Poor serves over 17 countries in the Caribbean Islands and Central America. Food for the Poor feeds nearly 1 million people every day. But it does more than feed people. Our goal is for people to become self-sufficient and to live a life of dignity that you and I here enjoy in the United States. Food for the Poor is an ecumenical organization. It is supported by Christians of the Roman Catholic, Lutheran, Episcopal, Baptist, Presbyterian, and doing just a couple of them. Through Food for the Poor, I found in my life that it helps me follow Jesus' footsteps by obeying His command to love God and love our neighbor. After I retired, they invited me to become a speaker for Food for the Poor. That was 4 years ago, 4.5 years ago now. And they sent me to Haiti with 10 other pastors. First thing we did was we went to a food kitchen in Port-au-Prince, Haiti. Now, Haiti is the poorest of the poor of all the Caribbean countries. The government is in shambles. There were 1,500 people lined up at this food kitchen in Port-au-Prince. Each one of them had two buckets exactly like this. And in it, we put peach meat, bean soup in one, and a cornmeal in the other. What I found out is each of these 1,500 people go out into their community, and these two buckets feed 10 people for the day. Think about it. And then out in the head, we 10 pastors fed 15,000 people. After I found that out, I really felt like I was a port of Jesus on that hill as He gave out the loaves and the fishes. But this is not the real miracle. The real miracle is this, that we do it for 10 cents a meal. That's $50 a year. Anybody's food budget is bigger than $50 a week? Everybody's going to say yes. How can we do this? How can we feed somebody for 10 cents a meal? It is because we are such a trusted organization. Over 94% of all gifts given, including monetary gifts and gifts in kind, 94% goes directly to the service of the poor. So countries throughout the world, trust us that it's going to go where it is intended to go. So countries like the United States, Taiwan, France, will give tons of food to us for free. But the 10 cents really goes to the distribution of that food. After we left Port-au-Prince, we went out to a village that we were about to develop. We always go to the pastor first. But we do not develop churches. We support the church and lift up the church in that community. As we were going into this village, we were walking, and we came upon two little boys. One was about 5 years old, one was about 8 years old. The five-year-old had a cup of rice, a tiny little cup of rice. And he was eating it, almost grain at a time. They spoke French Creole, and Arita was speaking to them. And he asked the older boy, who was watching the little boy, he said, "When are you going to eat?" And the older boy's response shook us. "When are you going to eat?" The response was, "It's not my day to eat." What would you have done? Would you have said, "We'll pray to you, God bless you, and go on your way"? Not in your life. You would have done exactly like we captured it. We ran to the bus. We got anything that was edible in that bus, including our own lunches. And we gave it to those little boys. But we know that we won't be there the next day, and you will not be there either. But food for the poor will be there. And food for the poor is feeding those two little boys, even today. I want you to be part of God's ministry to help feed those children. $50 a year. Be one of those boys. Is that too much to ask? As God commands us in our wealth and in our blessings to love our neighbor? We do much more than that. As we go into that village, we ask the pastor, "What do you need?" Almost the first thing they'll say is water. I have a question for you. Anybody take a shower this morning? Okay. For those who are listening on the radio, that's about 50%. I'm surprised you're so close together. Here's a more challenging question. Did you brush your teeth this morning? Oh, that's a lot better. Did you drink coffee or tea? Have orange juice? Wash your face? Wash your dishes? I'm asking you these things, but you're saying, "Of course, Pastor Bruce. Those are givens." There would be a huge outcry from the national media if this community did not have water. And yet the everyday life of the village is livelihood is they do not have water. We're driving into one of these villages. Now, Haiti is a very southwest climate, very hot, very dry, about 100 degrees every day. We were driving on this dirt road that looks like a plow field. And on the left-hand side, we went over a culvert. The creek was about that broad, about 3 feet. Left-hand side was cattle and goats in that water, drinking, refreshing themselves, cooling off in the summer heat, and doing what cattle and goats naturally do in the water. On the right-hand side were six women. They were doing their washing that creek. The kid that made a little dam, and he was slopping in the creek to relieve them from the heat. What really touched my heart as we were driving by were 2 dozen gallon jugs on the bank. That was their drinking water. Waterborne disease is the number one killer of children in these underdeveloped countries, the third world countries. So the first thing we will do is go into our village and read it to your well. Very important. Life here. We challenge you as a church. We challenge you as families who enjoy this absolute gift of water that we enjoy every day. I'm challenging you now. Will you make a difference in the life of a whole village for generations to come and donate the well pump? You know, the old well pumps that your grandparents used to have? $285. Is that something that you and your family can do? I was in South Dakota last week. I went to three little churches. One had an attendance of 10, the next one 15, and the next one 17. Those are small. But an amazing response to those few people. For those 50 people, I received three wells last week on the morning of my devotion. What can you do in response to God's command to love our neighbor? To make a life-changing difference. My wife and I do regularly to food for the poor on a monthly basis, but that's because our yearly gift can become your gift as well. After we do that, we tell the pastor to give a list of who is most needy in the village of a house. And when I'm talking about a house, the normal average house that I saw was 10, about 12 by 12 square feet. Some of the larger ones were 15 by 15 square feet. That's about the size of a small bedroom. Up to three generations lived in that house. The house that I'm describing is normally made out of plastic that they have found, or old corrugated tin that they have found along the road. Most likely from a hurricane that's blown in the field. They're always leaking. They're the ground floor. And when the rains do come, it's mud. The houses that we build are 20 by 20 square feet. In the hurricane prone areas, which is happening right now, the Bermuda, Bahamas, this concrete block and the reinforced rebar in the walls and the steel roof. Last year when the hurricane hit in Puerto Rico, not a single one of our houses were destroyed. These things are well built. And some of the communities, the people themselves, helped build these houses. I visited a village in Nicaragua. There was a lady at the far end of the street kind of poking her head out as we were making a tour of these houses, just a brand new village that they just built. I got my friend who spoke Spanish, another pastor, to get down and introduce ourselves to the floor, and she had just got done washing out her floor. She was so proud of her house. And I asked her, what difference does this house make in your life? She had three children and her husband and her. The first thing she did was go to the back door and she pointed to a pile of plastic and she said that was my house before this mansion. And again I asked her, what difference does this house make? And this is what she said. The rattlesnakes and the crocodiles can't come into my house anymore because now we have a door. Anybody have any problems with rattlesnakes and crocodiles in your house? Me either. We have rattlesnakes in our area, but no crocodiles. But the problem is we have a door. We've always had a door. Can you imagine how transforming this house and this door made in the life of this family? Can you imagine? I can't. One half of it is living space, and then we divide it into two bedrooms. For every two houses, we build an outhouse. Also made of a concrete block, compostable outhouse. For every house, if the funds become available, we give 25 chickens so that these chickens grow up and they can eat the eggs or sell the eggs for profit. A half of a house costs $3,800. I'm challenging this congregation to make a difference in the life of a family. Now, I assume there's some council members here. And you might have an admission fund, I don't know. But if this church can raise $3,800 by October 1st, it will be doubled. There is a silent donor who will build the other half of the house. Well, maybe there's a family here. And the Holy Spirit's been bugging them for a while. Say, I need to do something special in the name of the Lord. Leave that house something special. And when we dig a well, when we build the homes, we don't leave. We are not a welfare organization. Our whole purpose is just not to give. Our ultimate purpose is to have the village, the families, the individual to become self-sustaining. So we will stay in that village. If the farmers, we'll teach them how to be better farmers. We'll give them the grain, the fertilizer, so that they can have better crops. If they're fishing it, we'll give them better boats. In every country, we have a nursery that can raise tilapia fish and give tilapia fish to places where there are ponds, so these people can raise these tilapia, harvest them, eat them, but also sell them. So it is a sustaining thing. In Nicaragua, the culture is that the men will marry, the women have a couple of kids, and so many times the men just leave, abandoning the family. And these women are they're homeless or penniless, basically. So we have developed a system where it's called the sewing machine program. I visited a place where there's 60 sewing machines in the little community center. 60 women with their little children learning how to sew. And after they graduate from class, the government will buy the uniforms that they make. Now all of a sudden, 60 women in this community have a job and are raising a living. Have a life of dignity. Can you imagine the difference that impact will make in that whole community as other women, time and again, learn to sew and they'll be employed? And soon there will be no need to have this immigration into another land because now they are self-sustaining and stay where they are. Life-changing difference. We know images. There's so many hospitals that are supported solely by us who collapse if we weren't there. We are trying to live out Jesus' command to love God and love neighbor. You have the bulletin, in the bulletin you have this brochure. And those who might be listening at studentofthefort.com, you can see more information about it. You can see some of the different things that can be given and challenges to the way. I'm inviting you today. If you're prepared, if you're able, please make an offering to Food for the Poor. Share it all and put it in. Our goal is that you become a sustaining member, that you are a regular contributor, whether it be $5 or $10 or $20 or whatever, it doesn't matter. But it does matter to the lives of the recipients, of those who are hungry, and those who want to receive a life that we enjoy. If you're not able, please take this home. Pray about it. What can we as a family do to make a difference in the lives of our neighbors in the South? We do the envelope. By the way, on the envelope is a number. Do you see it? 130908, that's the number of this church. Any donations given with that number will be if the church does something in the future, usually it will. So I think it's at the end of the service, we will have a fellowship. And as you address you all, if you like, by all you come, and it will be a time for you for questions and answers. Because I'm sure there's some answers and questions that you need to have to be raised to answer and be there. And we'd love to entertain those questions with you. I'll be with you at the end of the service, and I'll use my public bucket to receive the gifts. At the end of Jesus' ministry, he said, I'm going to gather all the people of the world together. And I'm going to divide them, the sheep and the goats. And I'm going to look at the sheep and I'm going to say, blessed are you, the righteous. For you saw me hungry, you saw me thirsty, you saw me naked, you saw me in prison. And you did something about it, my friends. And the righteous will say, Lord, it's been 2,100 years since you've been on this earth. We didn't see you hungry or thirsty or anything like that. And you know the answer that he gave as much as I do. He said, when you do these to the least of these, the least of the people who are helpless, you give it to me. That's what I'm talking about here today. Let us pray. Praise the Lord, Holy Father. Thank you for the day you have given us. We are grateful, as Pastor Randy says. We are grateful for being alive through the gifts. But in that gratefulness, there needs to be a response. A response to you. To love our neighbor. To love you. Help us to do just that. In Jesus' name.
I believe in God.
nurtured by our generous God, we gather as one to pray for the church, the world, and all of God's creation. God of peace, we pray for the leaders, teachers, and preachers who fearlessly share your word and who reveal you through their humble sacrifice. Uphold and sustain all who seek to live in a way that is pleasing to you. Lord, in your mercy. God of generosity, we pray for crops growing ripe in the fields and fruit becoming ready to harvest. Grant safety to workers who will gather this bounty and bless the yield to come. Lord, in your mercy. God of power, we pray for humility, kindness, and generosity to be instilled in the leaders of all nations. Inspire them to become models of servanthood and to work for worldwide peace and prosperity. Lord, in your mercy. God of love, we pray for all those who are forgotten or pushed aside, for those who are suffering from poverty, neglect, physical or emotional trauma, and those who are homeless or are without a homeland, especially Josie Bell, Randy and Pam, Brett, Ron, Sue, Patty, Kathy, Manuel, Donnell, Ernest, Lexon, Jim, Kevin, Levi, Sean, Libby, Tracy, Leo, Sam, our companion congregation in Lowell, and Pastor Francis, all those who serve in our military and their families, and all our members and friends residing in care facilities or confined in their homes. Lord, in your mercy. God of grace, we pray for students of all ages and disciplines, teachers and professors, teaching assistants and aides, substitute teachers, and administrators. Provide safety in travel and in the classroom so that the spirit of learning is fostered for all. Lord, in your mercy. We pray also for those affected by Hurricane Dorian. Keep them safe in your sight. Lord, in your mercy. God of mercy, we remember those you love who now rest from their labors. Grant all your beloved saints a place at your eternal banquet. Lord, in your mercy. Assured by your promise to hear us, we lay our prayers before your throne of grace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
Finish about peace with one another.
upon the hills were gathered together to become one bread, so let your church be gathered together from the ends of the earth into your kingdom. For yours is the glory through Jesus Christ, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, power,
come to the banquet, for all is now ready.
The blood of Christ shed for you. The blood of Christ shed for you. The blood of Christ.
Please rise. Receive the blessing. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ and his precious blood strengthen and preserve you under everlasting life. Amen.
We give you thanks, O God, that you welcome us to your table and satisfy our deepest hunger and thirst. By your gifts of word and holy meal, strengthen us to take up the cross as we go about our callings to this world, following after Jesus Christ, our servant Lord.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you in grace and mercy. The Lord will look upon you with favor and give you peace in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Everybody, I'll try to keep this really simple. This Wednesday is our first Wednesday's table. I still need one or two people to bring some fresh fruit, grapes, bananas, something like that, something easy. The next week, I have the new menu up. I need people to help with it. I need food for it. It's going to be, oh my goodness, baked chicken. This stuff is absolutely awesome. I make it at home. We're going to have a veggie tray, potato salad, and then we're going to do a Weight Watchers mock potato salad because we want to have low-carb options, French bread, and cookies. So I need people to help bring some of the stuff. What we're going to do is start buying some of the food at wholesale prices so we can get it a lot cheaper. So what you can do instead of bringing a food item is just simply do a cash donation. You can give the money to me. Since I'm no good at names, be sure I write your name down so I can let Jane know. Or you can do it online. We have been having people give us cash donations through PayPal, which is just absolutely wonderful. And I need people to help. So I'll be in the back. If you would like, I would love for help, and I'd also like people to come, because it's not just about doing a free meal for those that are in need. It's also for companionship and hugs and people chatting and talking and bonding and getting together. We need all of it. This week, I picked up 2,000 flyers from the printers. Due to a printing error, they all come out poster size. So Jerry and I absorbed half the cost because part of it was our fault, part of it was their fault. We were able to get a discount for the church. So we have probably 1,700 flyers going out to every single child from pre-K, special education, all the way through fifth grade. I'll have them in the schools hopefully Tuesday, but they won't promise me exactly what day they will go home with the kids. So they may not have it by next Wednesday's table, but after that they will have them. If you have questions, let me know. Anything at all, please, I'm always available. Don't be afraid to use my email address or phone number. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other announcements you brought forward? Well, please feel free to make your way to my left then, fellowship time after worship. Let Pastor Randy know next week. We did not break any time for that.